You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Well, friends, this morning you have experienced the most schizophrenic service in the church year. We begin the service singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, proclaiming Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And here we are, just a few brief moments after that, hearing those words, "Let him be crucified." Now, don't let this fall on deaf ears or go in one ear and out the other. The implication is that you and I, the ones who were saying Hosanna just a few moments ago, we're the same ones in the same breath who can turn around and say, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's precisely what happened, because of course, as we go through Holy Week, we see these great crowds on Palm Sunday. And when Good Friday comes around, they're nowhere to be found. The same lips that said, "Praise God," just a few days later, ran and tucked their tail and hid. It's a schizophrenic service, you and I. We're going through this jarring scene where we see Jesus enter Jerusalem, and just a few short days later after that, he's delivered up, he's abandoned, and he's crucified. Well, I do want to focus much of my attention this morning on the reading that Craig read in the back of the nave, back, front, I'm not sure what your perspective is, that was read earlier from Matthew for Palm Sunday. And I'll leave Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday to my colleagues who'll be preaching. But Palm Sunday is a peculiar liturgical act. You know, we come in, we have our palm branches, we have our palm crosses, and we're saying those words, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." I'll get to the meaning of that here in a little bit. But Matthew is giving us a scene where Jesus is going into Jerusalem. Now, this is something you would expect a good Jewish person to do on the week of the Passover. They would go to Jerusalem to have the Passover feast and festival. That's to be expected. But Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, not perhaps what you and I would have expected. If he's a king, I mean, I would expect a horse with a sword ready to take back the Holy Land. But actually, this donkey prophecy comes from Zechariah. I know we've had a lot of readings this morning, but let me read just a little bit from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is what the prophet says. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, it took a prophet for us to see it. We wouldn't have known perhaps otherwise, but this is our king who has come. And it wasn't uncommon in Jesus' day for a king to ride on a donkey in peacetime. But again, it's a great act of humility that Jesus would come in on a donkey. Yes, he is our king. Yes, he's coming back to take what is his, but he's not doing it the way that perhaps we would have come up with. You know, if I were God, that's not the way I would have done it. I would have come in on a very fancy sports car and let everyone know that I mean business. Jesus comes humble on a donkey, as the prophet tells. And Matthew doesn't quote this part of Zechariah, but the important part for you and me is not so much the donkey. The donkey's important. But the important part is that he's righteous. The king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. The whole task at hand is salvation. It's not to show off. It's not to otherwise point to the donkey or Palm Sunday, but it's to come and bring salvation. Now, the people don't know it, but when they were proclaiming Hosanna in the highest, they're confessing that out loud. Hosanna comes from the Hebrew word, which means salvation, to save. And in essence, they're saying, "Save us, save us." And it's not a polite, "Would you save us, please?" But it's almost a demand. "Save us now. We need your help." You and I confessed that this morning too. We were saying, "Hosanna, save us." Maybe not fully sure of what that might mean. And again, in Jesus' context, I think what they were expecting was this political leader to come by force and to take back from the Romans what belonged to the Jews. And that's not the way he did it, is it? Now, make no mistake about it, Jesus is not passive. Jesus is not in any way, in this case, a pacifist. That's not what he's communicating. In fact, in the very next verse, it's not in your bulletin, but in the next verse of Matthew's Gospel, 21, verse 12, we see Jesus clearing out the temple, doing the work that he was sent to do. Yes, in humility, but also in authority. So So the people are crying out for a Messiah to come and save them from the Romans, to bring back holy rule and holy law there in Jerusalem. But he didn't do it that way. As Waylon Jennings was saying, I don't think Hank would have done it that way. I'm on sort of an outlaw country kick, so forgive me. Last week I did a class with Johnny Cash in Holy Week, and the song from Johnny Cash, it's actually a Bob Dylan song, but Johnny Cash did, to me, the version that is the version. But he says, it ain't me, babe. It ain't me that you're looking for. You thought you were looking for a king, this political leader, some great triumphant earthly leader, but it ain't me, babe. It ain't me that you're looking for. You see, his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is completely at odds with the logic that you and I have of what a leader should be, of what a king should be. I mean, just imagine for a moment, in your mind, what does a king do? What does a king do? They sit around on a throne. They wait for others to serve them. Jesus, to the contrary, is the type of king who is humble and descends. As St. Paul tells us this morning, Jesus considered equality with God not a thing to be grasped. But instead, he became a human, took on human flesh. He descended to us, not being God out there, but being God with us, God for us, God to us. And he comes humbly on a donkey, bringing that salvation, not in a political sense, not even in an earthly or secular sense, but all-encompassing salvation. He comes bringing good news. You and I are accustomed to sort of status quo. At least I am. I won't speak for you. But people often ask me, Jay, how are you doing? And I'll say, oh, I'm doing just fine. You know, things are steady. Things are just where they need to be. Neither good nor bad, just steady. And often when I say that, I think, man, how boring am I? What a boring existence. I often say no report is a good report, but I really don't mean that. I want excitement. I want fireworks. I want exciting things going on. Like that movie, The Incredibles. I know some of you may not have seen that movie, but the little kid's waiting. He says, I'm waiting for something amazing. Do something. And so you and I, we don't like status quo. I mean, we say we do, but ultimately we want someone and something to break in that's going to excite us. Well, this morning, Jesus is interrupting the status quo. Jesus is interrupting what otherwise is a humdrum existence, or can be. And he's breaking in, and he's not waiting for you or me to pick up the phone and say, all right, we're ready for you. He's coming in. It's not violent, but it is an invasion. He's coming in whether you like it or not. As we hear the word that he brings with him, and we see the logic play out of Holy Week, we know that this is salvation in the grandest scheme possible. And so Jesus is interrupting perhaps your week or your month or your year, your life. And he's not waiting for you to make the first move. I've been reconnecting with an old friend, and we've had some disagreement in the past. And for a long time, I said, the ball is in his court. He needs to call me. It's his turn. You know, I've done my part. Well, I realized the call is never going to come. The call is never going to come. So for me, I had to pick up the phone and call. Not to make myself the Jesus in this situation, but Jesus doesn't wait for us to call. Jesus is coming in ready to bring salvation. And not bring it conditionally, but bring it actually. To actually put it in place for you and for me. And so as he comes into Jerusalem, do not be fooled. This is not a peace project. Ultimately, it brings peace, but in the meantime, he's at battle. And he's bringing back, and taking back, rather, what is his. So as the week plays out, of course, we know that as he descends on a donkey, he goes lower. That's a lowly, humble place. He would go lower still, washing his disciples' feet. I mean, how much lower can you go than that? That's pretty low. And then beyond that, he's betrayed. He goes on a cross. And while lifted high, that's as low as we think he can go. And then furthermore, giving up his life, giving up his spirit, and descending into hell, as we confess in the creed. Lower and lower still. And again, not to show off, but he's doing it for you. He had you in mind 2,000 years ago when he did all of this. As we'll confess in the creed, as we often do, for us and for our salvation, he did these things. This is the God we're talking about. This is the King we're talking about. So the people on the front end may have been disappointed. You hear, he's the Son of God. Why didn't he bring himself down from the cross? Again, they're view of what a king and what a God is being reshaped right before them. You and I, as we put our hope and trust in humans, we're often disappointed. Not often, always. We're always disappointed. And every 4 years, we go through that political amnesia cycle where we think, oh, this guy or this gal, she'll be the one to set things right. If we just go vote and get it right, and this person is in office, then everything shall be okay. And rinse, lather, repeat, it always happens. They let us down. They let us down. And I'm not just picking on political leaders or those in leadership. It's anybody. It could be our spouse. It could be our parents. It could be our children. It could be our coworkers. It could be our employer. Humans let us down. But this morning, as Jesus interrupts the status quo and he breaks in, his promise to you this morning is he will not let you down. And he has not let you down. And all of this magnificent works that we celebrate in Holy Week, it was done for you. And so you need not be jaded. You need not be worrisome that all the other people we placed our hope in have let us down. This one has achieved salvation. That's his very name. The same word for Hosanna, save us, is the same word for Jesus. It's the same root. In Hebrew, Yeshua is what you would say. It means God saves. So the salvation that he brought in on that lowly little donkey and completed on the cross and reassured us in the resurrection, it's for you and for me this morning. Jesus fulfills the salvation of God. And so your status quo is interrupted now, and your sins are forgiven, and it's actual. And if you doubt my word or even doubt the words that have been read this morning, here in a few moments that word will be placed on your hands and placed into your mouth with the promise that this is my body, this is my blood, which is given for you, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. We can't doubt it when it's placed right into our hands. It's for you this morning. It's for you this week. Christ descended from heaven, descended so low, as St. Paul says, to die a death, yes, even a death on a cross, for you and for me. And for that this morning, we give tremendous thanks. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.